from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Munns, did you submit this song, or is this just from our library?
This is me.
Okay. Jeffrey. I know this is on our library, so I didn't know. I mean, anytime I think about this, I just think of Bobby Boucher mowing the grass, or maybe going back from Vicky Valentine's on the Water Boy when he's like riding that lawnmower back.
Yeah, I don't know about. I mean, I just think Loomy Da when I hear this song. That's what I hear.
It's a fun vibe, though. It's a good tune. It feels, you can smell the 1995 on it.
I was about to say, it puts me in the backseat of my dad's old Corolla.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling around.
No, it's not 95, is it? I was going to say it brings me back to senior year, and I was not a senior in 1995. I could have it wrong, but it does make me think of the latter portion of my time in high school.
See, that's everything, right? The band?
Yeah, it is.
Formed at JMU. I did not know that. Let's
see. There you
go. 98. Song came out in 98.
Beautiful. Start of my, what, like, I'm assuming we only know the year, but that is when my senior year began, so, whew.
Yeah, that's featured prominently in Adam Sandler's The Water Boy. Also made its way onto a My Name is Earl, Raising Hope, Yes Dear, and Clueless episodes as well. Also on the first season of the Scrub soundtrack.
Oh, that soundtrack is so good.
That is, just in that one fell swoop, two of my all-time favorite TV programs, My Name is Earl and Scrubs. I defy anybody. I mean, seriously, I've actually been rewatching some of Scrubs because
it's a good show.
Except
for the last season.
We don't talk about it. It did get a little bit.
The ABC, the season where they were teaching.
But it's interns. I don't know these people. Get out of my
face. They already did the series finale the year before whatever. Like,
correct.
The ABC season doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, so, but no, and I feel stupid because I'm sitting here talking it up and I can't even remember John C. McGinley's character's name.
Dr. Cox,
yes. And I will admit that there are, upon rewatch, there are some parts that haven't aged well. But between janitor Dr. Cox and Ted the lawyer, oh my God. Ted the lawyer is just, he's just brilliant. You know, he's Christopher Lloyd's nephew.
He also passed away, right?
Yeah, rest in peace.
He did.
Rest in peace.
He did.
Yeah, you don't have to stretch to believe that they're related.
Yeah.
Yep. Sam Lloyd. He was also in the Seinfeld episode where he was like, he made a bouquet, like a paper bouquet out of Frank Costanza's TV guide and tried to give it to Elaine. He was that guy.
Well, if you like Scrubs, I'm not telling everybody you got to get an Apple TV Plus script, but subscription. But so Bill Lawrence is back, shrinking, very good,
excellent,
and it's got Scrubs vibes.
Maybe the best Harrison Ford performance we've gotten in
Jason Segel's
15
back.
Years.
Like Jason Segel cares, like he hasn't probably cared since like season 3 of How I Met Your Mother. Maybe.
Did you ever see Jeff Who Lives at Home?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I did see that. The movie. Yes.
I thought it was pretty good.
Not
Jason
bad.
Jason Segel film. But you've sold me already.
It's fantastic. It's got the Scrubs thing where like music's clearly a part of it. Like that's the other thing with Scrubs. It's not just the episodes. It's the music that goes with it. That's a big part of it. All right. Yep. So were you at Spring Creek this morning?
Oh, I was there.
Okay. So since you were there and the rest of us are having to either watch or read quotes, can you set the scene for us? Was it as awkward as at times the video seemed?
Yes.
Okay.
It was actually awkward before the video even started. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what to make of this, but, I was there and there was a handful of us there who we had just finished, talking to Ryan Silverfield, who was also part of the event. And a person who was someone who was sort of like
we told her it was Harold Grader, and Harold, like, he's not a PR guy, but like he was essentially in that point functioning as a media relations person.
Yes, and so he comes up to us. I guess Penny had just pulled up into the parking lot, and he comes up to us and he tells us that. That we needed to know that if we asked any basketball questions of Penny Hardaway, he was going to end the interview and walk away. So we were already kind of off on
your back foot there.
Yeah, on our heels a little bit. Didn't know really what to make of that. But we pressed on and we asked basketball questions anyway. And, some of them he answered, some of them he didn't. He never walked away. He never ended the interview, to his credit, but it was still definitely awkward, throughout.
So I guess the first question is, does it become awkward throughout because he got basketball questions and that set him off, or was it awkward before that? Like when he gets there, could you feel it? Like it's awkward in the sense of you're being told don't ask basketball questions, and I'd mention to everyone, this is an event Penny has spoken at every year that I can remember him doing it, and it is a opportunity to ask him basketball questions. Like that, is it awkward because you've gotten the request, or did he like have a vibe even at the beginning where you're like, this is weird?
It was, so for me, for further context, for me, this off season has just been kind of odd. You'll recall a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, there was the fan event, Tigers on Tour event, in Collierville, and that's the only they've done two of them, and that's the only one that Penny has appeared at. And he declined to speak to the media, you know, like. He declined to take questions from the media at that event. It's worth noting that Ryan Silverfield did, and so did Jeff Crane, interim athletic director. But Penny chose to decline that opportunity at that event. And then there was another event that I was not at, although I heard later that... that the same sort of don't ask any basketball questions of me, and if you do, the interview will be over. That was also the
instructions.
Yes, those were the instructions at that event, and that was a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it didn't come out of left field at this particular event today, but just kind of going into, like, knowing that was probably going to be what would happen anyway, I was already feeling a little awkward. And then, yeah, you could just tell Penny just did not want to talk about anything basketball related. Again, he did. He talked about the recruiting class, the transfer class, being here, and that being the first time since he's been hired that he has had so much of his team here so early, and how, you know, that's a very positive thing. You know, he was asked about David Jones, no comment. I tried to sort of ease into it a little bit, because I think the first question was about the golf event that we were at, and then there may have been one other question, but then I kind of tried to sort of break the ice a little bit and ask a very generically worded question to hopefully sort of ease us into things. And I think it was something along the lines of, well, the season ended two months ago. How have you been?
Yeah.
You know, like, how things been going, sort of thing. And like, I didn't just want to come right out and blast him with a basketball question when we'd clearly been told, hey, don't ask any basketball questions. But I also did not want to not ask any basketball questions. And it was met with, you know, it was met with bristliness. I don't know a better way to say it. It was bristled at, and you know, it is what it is. I don't really know what else to say.
I guess, though, when you lay it out like this, though, the appropriate first question, right, is, so why not talk about basketball at this? Because in years past, like, this is he has the right to say, I don't want to talk about basketball. You also have the right to ask questions. And like, that's correct. Like, we know the mechanics of this. But the thing that stands out to me is the thing that is different is not wanting to talk about basketball. And is that right? Is that the appropriate first question?
That would have been a very fair question, I believe, to ask him. And as it stands, you know, right now, because it wasn't asked, that question wasn't asked, we don't know. We are only left to speculate. Now, I mean, you know, you could come up with, I could probably come up with a bunch of different answers or a bunch of different reasons why he is, you know, not wanting to discuss basketball, the basketball coach not wanting to discuss basketball with the local media. You know, maybe it's because he feels like he, you know, like, stuff that he says gets
amplified
up. Yeah, like discussed more than he feels like it deserves to be, or you know, who knows? I mean, like, it's entirely possible that it's something like that. But yeah, until we get some sort of clarification on that, all we can do is speculate.
Is it also possible that the David Jones decision is, like, overly impacting his mood? Because, again, I'm watching a video, so I'm not there and whatnot, but they kind of seemed related to me.
Possibly. I would think that's entirely possible. It is abundantly clear, you know, that based on his reaction to that question, it does seem clear to me, at least, and I think it's you know, other people are viewing it the same way. But it seems obvious that, you know, this is not a, that the David Jones deal was not a situation where, it was just like a mutual amicable, parting of ways. It seems like there is some sort of, you know, underlying stuff that, you know, was is still sort of raw, shall we say. And so, I mean, yeah, it's possible, because that was what, less than a week ago? That was what, like,
just a couple days ago.
Thursday, right? Wasn't right. Thursday the day that, I think Thursday was
Thursday
the decision.
Night, I guess late Wednesday night was the deadline. And so I think, yeah, but still, it's been less than a week, and I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure it feels like some nerves are still a little bit raw when it comes to David Jones.
I guess the problem that I've had with the whole situation is we obviously don't know the conversations between Penny and David, or David's team, however you want to phrase it. And this would not be the first time I've ever seen this, where a camp gives you good feelings and you think that you're on track, you find out that that's not the case and you get burned. I guess though the problem that I've had with it all is that I understand Penny's optimism. And again, I don't know what the conversations that were being had between the two parties, but it seemed pretty obvious to me, if you wanted to see signs that this thing is not locked up, that he's coming back to Memphis, those tells were there. And I think that's the question I keep coming back to. It's like, was Penny just so, sometimes you can be so involved in something that maybe you don't see the outside noise, or however you want to say it. I think that's what I really struggle with. It's like, is that part of what's upsetting him, is that he just feels like he was like misled?
You know, I don't know. Again, he didn't want to talk about it,
yeah,
with us. You know, it and honestly, it depends, I think, on who you talk to. There have been some indications out of David's camp over the last, whatever it's been, less than a week, that seem to show that there was some sort of disconnect, at least if you believe what David, like certain people from David's camp,
yeah,
are putting out there. Like, there was even something this morning that one person within his camp was going on social media. I actually got it here in front of me. It says, well, today it was seen how much support has really been taking place behind closed doors. All that we can do is really sort of take bits and pieces that are available to us, that are in front of us, and kind of make our own, form our own
interpretation.
Opinions. Yeah. Yeah. And it just seems like there was some sort of disconnect somewhere that either was there for a while or developed late. Can't really tell, but, you know, I mean, who's to say that David wasn't, that David Jones did not take the 70-30 stuff personally? All that talk,
yeah,
that started right before the season ended, where Penny kept saying that he felt like, you know, if he was going to put a percentage on it, it was going to be 70-30 Memphis for David Jones to come back. And he said it, I think, three different times. I think he said it in response to my question at a press conference, and then I think he said it maybe during his radio show, and then again somewhere.
I think he
else.
Said it on the Tigers on Tour. I think that was same.
Oh, right.
I think it was the first one, right?
Yep, in Collierville. That's right. And you know, it would not surprise me if that didn't quite sit right with David Jones. But again, you know, until people are ready to talk about it, we don't know, and we may never know.
We're left connecting dots. We're talking with Jason Munns here on the program. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. One thing we do know is that David Jones is not going to be here, and they have an open spot. When you look at what they're doing with that open spot, what do you seem like kind of the most likely targets, and kind of where do you see it right now?
Well, so if I know Penny, like I think I know him, he's gonna go big. You know what I mean? Like he's not gonna just. I have a feeling he's not going to, you know, just go get like a role player.
Yep.
Or something like that. Like he, and I think that's the right move, honestly. Like if it's the right player, then I think it could be the right move. Now I know that, you know, there's been mention of certain players. Jameer Watkins was one, Florida State guy. He obviously came out this morning and pretty much put that to bed, said that he was considering a certain list of other schools that did not include Memphis. You can scratch him. Trayvon Brazil from Arkansas, he's like, what, 6'9", 6'10", and doesn't shoot the three? In my opinion, you know, like that's the only hole in your roster right now is a wing who can spread the floor offensively. You know, a guy who's got some size who can spread the floor. I mean, you know, David Jones, yes, he was listed at 6'6", but he really was only 6'3.5", but he actually played probably more like he was 6'6". You know, ideally you'd like to go and get somebody like that, somebody who's a little bit bigger, who can play the three, who can shoot the ball well from long range. And Arthur Kaluma, the Kansas State transfer, does fit that mold. He's 6'7". He has played three seasons, two at Creighton, one at Kansas State. He's widely regarded as probably the best available, one of the best available players left in the portal. And he shot 34.5% from three last year. I just looked it up. He made 51 three-pointers last year, which was more than anybody at Memphis on last season's Memphis roster, except for David Jones and Javon Quinterly. Javon Quinterly had 58. David Jones, obviously, had 79. He makes sense. Arthur Kaluma makes sense to me. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't think they're coming down the stretch necessarily.
Right.
With Kaluma, but I do know they're involved.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.